Amen. Guys, we're on the third week and of spiritual disciplines. And before we go any further, I wanted to say a special thank you to Chris for preaching last week. It's wonderful to know that we can leave and that we've got elders who are gifted in preaching and teaching, and that we can go and know that you guys are well cared for. And so just thank you so much to Chris. I know you guys were blessed last week. So praise God for that. Today, we're continuing on the third week, which is of spiritual disciplines, and really the joy of spiritual disciplines. And as we do that, I wanted us to be thinking about a couple things. Number one is, as we go from week to week, my hope and prayer is that we don't do one of the disciplines for that week and then put it aside and just let it sit for a year or two and maybe come back to it, but that we would be building, And, you know, the meditation, spiritual, biblical meditation on the Word of God, when we bring that in with prayer, where we were 2 weeks ago, and then today where we're going with fasting, and when all of them become a part of what we experience in our walks with God, things are going to change in our lives. Things are going to change with us individually, and things are going to change with us together as a body in Christ. And so I really want us to be thinking about, how do we grow? And remember, in the back on the way out, most of you already have them from the few weeks before, but we've got the journals. And I really want to encourage you to be spending some time in your journals and really looking at those journals and what God has for us through the journal time. Guys, we live in a world that is fast food and fast paced. It's always about what's immediate and what's next. And have you ever been at a fast food place and people didn't get served fast enough and people get rude? I just watched on a news clip last night. I watched a guy who felt as though his food hadn't come in. He hadn't gotten served enough, served quickly enough. And so he comes in the back, and it's this video camera. He walks into the back, and he knocks out, I didn't know if it was the chef or the server, but just goes in and knocks her out. No words, just yelling and screaming, coming in a tirade, and just knocks her out. And another person in the kitchen had to pull a gun and stop him from attacking her more. We live in this world where everything is instant and immediate. And guys, in our walks with God in the spiritual realm, we do not live in an instant world. We live in a world where God speaks to us and walks with us. But man, in the disciplines, as we grow in our meditating on the Word of God and our time of prayer, as we grow in areas where we get to come by faith and be still before God and fast, which is what I want to talk to you guys today about. Fasting is an opportunity where a lot of people will fast for a lot of different reasons. Some people will do it for health issues. Some people will do it to lose weight. I'm not talking about that kind of fasting. The kind of fasting I'm talking about is the kind of fasting that it is for spiritual purposes. It's for our spiritual walk with the Lord. We desire, God made us with a desire to be intimate with Him, with us to be in relationship with Him and with each other. Julie and I and our family had a great week away. And something happened yesterday that was pretty special. Julie and I had a day without kids. And we were like, man, but how great was it to be able to go and have some time and have that time of talking, of sharing? And God wants that for us with Him, that closeness, that intimacy. Matthew 6:16 starts out by saying this, when you fast. Guys, think about those words, not if you fast. And I know many people throughout history have tried to make fasting a command of God and Jesus, and it's not put in command language. But it is put in many times in the language of it's something that we do, and it's saying here, when you fast. So it's, what does that mean? It's an assumption that we will be fasting. But it's more than just an assumption. Are we commanded to fast? You know, there's not a place where it's in the command language. But we're going to be looking at some scriptures today which really talk about different people who fasted and what they went through in the process and how they went about it. Many heroes of faith were blessed by fasting. Moses, the great lawgiver, Queen Esther, King David, Elijah, the Apostle Paul, and Jesus. Remember Jesus when he fasted for 40 days, and at the end, what did it say? He was hungry. But why would he be preparing to go into spiritual battle against the enemy, against Satan? Why would he be, right before that time, be in a time of 40 days of fasting? Because he needed to be connected with his Father. And there needed to be that intimacy, and there needed to be that oneness. And so as he prepares for a great battle, he goes into this time of fasting. Matthew 9:14-15 say this. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. And then it says, then they will fast. You see, Jesus was with his disciples. The bridegroom was with them. It was a time for what? For celebration. But when Jesus ascended, that's when we know that this scripture came about. The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Guys, that time is now. That time is now. Then they will fast. Then my disciples, then those who call on my name will fast. There may not be a command for us to fast, but there is a direction of calling us to fast. We are told to fast. We are encouraged to fast. We are given examples by Jesus and by the disciples and by people from Old and New Testament, of those who are fasting to hear from God, to be intimate with Him. The time is now. God is speaking to us. Fasting is an interesting thing. It's a time where we abstain from food for a period of time so that we can focus on what? On God, on hearing from Him. And we've seen many times throughout history in the scriptures where people fast and they go both as individuals and as a church family, as a group of people, as a nation. But the question comes to me is, why do we fast? Why? We know we're supposed to do it. Why do we fast? Verse 16 and 18 of Matthew 6 says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Guys, listen to that. Something that stands out to me. To show others. The way we don't fast is we do it in a way to make a show of it. Oh, I'm going to fast. Oh, I'm fasting. What can be I be saying through those times? Look at me, I'm spiritual. It's putting the, yes, it is selfishness. It's putting the focus on me, the one suffering for Christ. They disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They've received it all from others. Verse 17, but when you fast, once again, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So guys, we're to do it quietly. We're to actually take steps for us to look fresh, for us to not be outward and doing it for the good of others or for us to look good in front of others. And then it says something interesting at the end because it can also almost sound a little bit selfish here. The Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What is he rewarding us with? What do you think that stands for? What do you think he's rewarding us with when we fast in a way that honors God and doesn't bring it attention to ourselves? He brings himself, the blessing, the reward is intimacy with him. So fasting is something that's done in relationship to God. Guys, spiritual fasting, the blessings, the spiritual blessings that come, can't come outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the blessing itself is that intimacy with him. That joy of being in his presence, that hearing from him. That closeness, that growing in our walk with him. Fasting is not forgetting God to do what we want. Guys, we don't fast because we've got an end goal and we want God to bend to our ways. We don't fast as a way of saying, I'm putting my money in of my time and effort. I'm hitting B4 and I want to get the candy bar out that's what I want. And so I'm going to fast so that God comes over to my way of thinking. To use good things for ourselves is always a sign of false religion. To use the things of God that are good for ourselves and to make it about us, that's a sure sign of false religion. We need to be careful not to love the blessing more than the blesser. We don't fast to get from God something. We fast to receive God himself. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different thing that's moving us forward. Fasting should always be centered on God. Spurgeon wrote about fasting, never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. Think about that. When we fast, when we experience the presence of God in intimate and real ways through fasting and prayer and meditating on his word, the gates that he's setting, the gates are wider. His glory is seen more. Esther 4, 15 and 16. Esther was a woman who was called to do some amazing things. I won't go into the whole story. We don't have time. But as she's being called to stand up and to do what's right, it says this, Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. What's she fasting for? What's She knows she's being called to stand for a people, to stand up to the king, to say the truth. And she knows that if she says the truth, the response from the king can be death. And it would be appropriate. But she knows that God is asking her to do something. Think about those words. If I perish, I perish. She's putting her heart, her life in the hands of God. And she's saying, I and we are being called to honor God, and there's a cost. There's a cost to it. Let's fast and pray together. You guys fast where you are. I will fast where I am. And let's pray, because we need to make sure that this is what God has for us, that we are bending our will to His, that we are hearing from Him. Fasting prepares us for what God wants. Fasting prepares us for what God wants in our lives. It puts us in a place where we're hearing from Him directly, where we're in unity with Him. You guys, one of the things that I want to say about this is fasting is getting deep into the spiritual battle. Because when we're meditating on His Word, when we're in prayer, when we're fasting, the enemy is not going to stand by and do nothing. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Guys, the enemy is against our spiritual growth. He will fight tooth and nail. He will go to the mat so that we do not grow in our walk with Him. What happens when we grow? God is glorified. We are less, and all of a sudden, we stop just reading about things in the Word of God. We stop just reading the Word of God, and we start being transformed by the Word of God in ways that change how we live and change how we be ambassadors for Him. And how we bring the truth to others. And how we live in unity and with the Spirit of God, with God Himself. This is, fasting is for spiritual means. And the enemy will not give up ground without a fight. So the question is this. If our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and if it's against the enemy of God, if it's against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, fasting accompanies prayer. What should we do with some of that time that we normally spend eating? What do you think? Prayer, what? The Bible, reading the Word of God. We're getting a different kind of food, guys. The whole idea is that it's for the soul. It's for our walk with the Lord. And so we are giving up the physical aspect of eating so that we are nourishing our soul, so that we are feeding on the Word of God, so that we are in that communion and we are being built up. It is a nourishment that is spiritual. I'll be honest with you. I've had times where I've fasted. I don't think I got much out of it. Well, let me change that. I know I didn't get much out of it. Why? My heart was wrong. Why I was doing what I was doing was self-centered. I didn't realize it at the time. The reason I started was for what? To hear from God. But I wanted to hear from God what I wanted to hear. I've had other times where I've gone into the fast with that exact same wrong motive. I've kind of fooled myself a little bit. I want to hear from God, but I've got a purpose for it. I've got my will in there. And in that time of fasting, something beautiful happened. My will was broken, and I was broken. And God said, what are you doing? Let's keep this going, but you know what? Now, let's get your heart right. And the time in the Word of God, the time of prayer, and the time of fasting started to reveal some things that I needed to change in me. And I've had other times where prayer and fasting, it was truly like receiving a meal when you hadn't eaten for days. It was truly the hunger of the soul being satisfied by God. And that intimacy with God being experienced in ways that meant everything. So how do we fast? How do we fast? As we prepare for that question, I want to read this scripture. This is from Jonah 3, 5 through 9. Remember, Jonah had been sent to Nineveh because they were a violent people. They were an ungodly people. And there was going to be great consequence. And God had sent Jonah to bring the gospel, to bring the truth of God, for them to repent of their sin. Jonah didn't want to go. He knew the Ninevites weren't worthy. What he was struggling with was he was thinking that he was. But he knew they weren't, and so he didn't want to go. But God finally gets them there. And you know the giant fish, you know all that. But what happens when they receive the words from Jonah? What happens? Jonah 3, starting in verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. Think about that. A people who had been doing their own thing, their own way, and they were good at evil. They were known as a ruthless people. There's history in other parts of the area where it talks about this fierce and vile and cruel people. It's them. The Ninevites believed God. And what's the first response? A fast was proclaimed. And all of them, from the greatest to the east, to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Guys, who in your life right now is beyond the love of Christ in your own mind? Who do you know, a family or friend? Who do you know that when you think of them, you think, there's no way. This person, I have some hope for them, but not this one. The Ninevites, they were beyond hope. And God meets them. And what's their first response? They want to know God. They want to know him. Let everyone call urgently on God is the decree. Call urgently and let them give up their evil ways and their violence. You know, something happens when we go to God in prayer and fasting and meditation. We are changed from the inside out.
Because we need to change. God loves us enough to not leave us where we're at. And one of the ways that he speaks to us, that he brings about transformation, is in these spiritual disciplines being lived out, in growing and maturing in Christ. As with faith comes a transformation. Before faith, what is the mind looking at when it deals with religion? What can I get away with? How much can I do? What's too much bad? That's a religious mindset. But when faith in Jesus Christ, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, because of what he's done for us, and when we understand, when we see that in a new light and we receive it, we die to ourselves, we die to what we want. And now we're transformed, and piece by piece and step by step, justification comes once and for all at that point. Sanctification continues on, and we continue to grow in our walks with the Lord. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. You see, we don't just fast to feel. Guys, hear this. We don't just fast to feel closer to God. But when there is that true intimacy and transformation from the inside out, that our souls are drawn to him, things change in our lives. And we give up doing evil that we had been doing in the past. They give up evil and their violent ways. We got to stop treating others in a way that builds us up and pushes others down. We got to stop living in a way that makes us look good, because we're stepping down on others. Violence. Guys, our country right now, there's violence everywhere. And it's always been true throughout all of history. Nothing's new in that sense. But we see so much anger and violence. That's not the heart of God. Is God just? Is God holy? Are there consequences to sin? Yes, yes, and yes. And what do we find in faith? Grace. We are given what we don't deserve. We find mercy. We're not given what we do deserve. Guys, think about it. Now what we do changes because of what's happening inside of us. Now our actions are different. Fasting reveals what controls us. Guys, we all worship something. And as believers, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But other false gods can come in. Other false gods can come into to what we start to think about and dream about and desire. Fasting reveals, when we go to that place of abstaining from food, and we have that discipline of doing without. I was reading a number of journals this week by people, by men and women who have fasted for long periods of time and made it part of their regular thing. Guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't fast weekly. I don't. I fast at times. I fast for things. John Wesley had a thing where he wouldn't even consider of bringing the men through ordination for becoming pastors if they didn't fast, as which was part of the practice there with them, on every Wednesday and Friday. It was part of what was just the bare minimum. Okay, So I'm speaking to you from somebody who, from years long ago, wouldn't be accepted in the bare minimum. It's interesting, from the 1850s to the 1950s, no books, roughly, there's a little after, I think it was the 1860s and the 1950-something, there were zero books written on fasting. Then it started to become a little bit more a part of our language, but not necessarily spiritual fasting, Christian fasting, but fasting for health reasons. Fasting reveals what controls us. When we give up that experience, we're starting to say, I'm not depending. Man does not live on bread alone. But what? And so now we're replacing the food with the Word of God. Now we're taking in, as Christ did, the Word of God in a way that is nourishment to the soul. And now for what is set before us, we are ready. We're ready for the spiritual battle that we're in. We're ready to stand when we need to stand. We're ready to be bold when we need to be bold. We're ready to be loving when we need to be loving. And not only that, we're hearing from God so we know what's appropriate at the right time and in the right way. I want to say this about fasting. We need to learn to walk before we run. Okay? We need to don't start out with a 40-day fast. Just a thought. Read a lot of literature this week, and a lot of those who practice this, they'll start off with juices. For the first day you do it for a day, do just juice. The next week, with just water. And why is it? You're training your body, you're preparing yourself, your mind, your heart, but you're doing it, you know. I would encourage you, do it for a day. Maybe try a meal. Have a time of fasting. If you have some health issues, there may be some other things that you need to fast with. There's other options. I think one of the most amazing fasts that could happen in today's world is a fast from all media. Phones, TV, computer, television. What if instead of a food fast, we do a time where we fast as individuals, maybe even corporate, we have a time where we take one day and we're not going to have any media of any kind. You know what happens? We start talking to God more. We start talking to people more. We start being connected more. We start hearing from God and responding. We need to learn to walk before we run. But I want to encourage us. Let's start walking. What is it? Every journey begins with what? One step. One step. So let's start on those steps. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know the Lord yet, this is something, maybe fast to hear from Him. God, are you real? Because the Word of God says what? Seek me and you will find me. The only way I could see fasting helping anyone outside of faith is if they're fasting to hear from God, if God is real. Because it's coming into that connection with God. And it's not outside of the spiritual aspect of it, because you're seeking God. But for those of us who are believers, it's a way for us to grow and mature. Guys, when we come to faith, what do we need to eat? Milk. Because we're babes in Christ. But as we grow in our walks, what should we be eating? Should we still be having milk after 50 years of just milk, after 50 years of relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do we need to start quite soon, actually, growing in that walk? Guys, I'm challenged by this because some things need to change. Some things need to change in my life. And I know it. And it's so easy for us to see what needs to change in others' lives. And certain things, as we're coming to understandings, guess what the enemy's going to do? He's going to bring to mind the faults of others. And I want to encourage us. It's so easy. I've had a number of times this week, as I've been hearing from God on this, that I've had this spiritual battle taking place to where it's trying to get me at odds with others or at odds with myself. Or it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And if we're going to grow, it's not going to happen easily. And we have to be prepared for the fight. And that means rather than lashing out, lashing back, praying, fasting, reading, and knowing that the spiritual battle is there, and keep going to that, today I'm going to die. Okay, something else happened with this brother, with this sister. Okay, I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to take up my cross right now, and walk. It's not always easy to do. There are times where when we fast, when we pray, growth doesn't happen without growing pains. Okay? I'm always amazed that I'm shocked at growing pains, that I can be offended by the others in my growing pains. When we are growing, the enemy is at work, and we need to come alongside and be near to God. I want to encourage you this week, commit to one day, whether it's part of a day or for a full day, to fast from either food or electronics or both, and to have that time not just be dead time. If you fast from food, don't just be in front of the TV. If you fast from food, get outside. It's going to be beautiful weather this week. Take a walk. Hear from God. Speak, read his word, chew on scripture, pray hard, and abstain from food for spiritual purposes, for our growth with God. Because I promise you this, it will be challenging, and the spiritual battle will be on, and there will be times of discouragement. Don't think you can grow without those growing pains. But the growth takes place, and we are made more like Christ, and things happen. And guess what happens too? Some of those areas of our lives that we knew we had to deal with start to get dealt with. And then here's a beautiful thing about fasting and prayer and meditation. A lot of the things that we didn't even know we had problems in, that we had made excuses or just had blind spots to, God reveals them to us, and we respond, and we're transformed, and we grow a little bit more and are a little more like him. As my prayers that this week there would be transformation in our lives as a family and as individuals, in your families. I want to encourage you, maybe put it to the family. You know, guys, why don't we fast from a meal as a family? Maybe fast from a day, maybe fast from electronics. Why don't we, let's talk about it. Maybe with a friend. Maybe with a coworker. Let's do this together. But let's be ready for the spiritual battle that is to take place. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your word. We just touched on the scriptures. There's so many that talk about fasting. Lord, forgive us for where we allow other things in this world to become more important than you and our walk with you. Father, we want to grow. We want to mature. We want to see things change in our lives, in our ministries, in our church, in our community. And Lord, that means we need to come alongside what you are doing. So Father, change us from the inside out. Do what you need to do. We pray these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.